All right, let's proceed with Aramark against Denver.
May it please the court. Thank you, Chuck Solomon, Assistant City Attorney, representing the City of County of Denver today. My bar number is 26873. This case arises from a tax audit of Aramark Sports and Entertainment, which is a concessionaire at Coors Field, and Aramark Entertainment, which is a concessionaire at Pepsi Center. During this argument, I'm going to refer them collectively as just Aramark. Aramark was audited for the period of January 1, 2000, May 31st, 2004. During that time, bottled water was not subject to the city's sales tax, but Aramark didn't know that. As a result, it collected tax from its customers at Coors Field and Pepsi Center and remitted that tax to the city.
Council, I want to stop you right there. You say they collected a tax. How can Aramark have collected a tax if, as a matter of law, no tax was owed? They collected money, but how is it collecting a tax?
Well, under the Denver Code, all sums assessed, whether or not correctly or incorrectly, are treated as a tax for purposes of the code. And I'd refer you to particularly section 5340 of the Denver Revised Municipal Code. It says all sums of money paid by the purchaser to the retailer as taxes imposed by this article shall be and remain public money, property of the city, in the hands of the retailer, and the retailer shall hold the same in trust for the sole use and benefit of the city until returned or paid over to the manager.
It says taxes imposed under this article.
It says
there was no tax imposed under this article.
It says all sums of money paid as tax. In this case, it was a sum of money that was paid as a tax because Aramark believed that a tax was due and it assessed that amount.
All right, but believing that one, that something is a tax, you're saying that kind of makes it a tax, whether the law says it's a tax or not.
It's true, it's a tax. It clearly is not a tax.
But you concede that it wasn't owed, and if Aramark had never remitted the money to the city wouldn't be coming after Aramark for any funds.
The city is not coming after Aramark for any funds at this point.
But had it never been remitted to the city in the first place, the city would not be coming after Aramark, because there's no tax owed. There is no tax money.
You're correct, there was not a tax. Under the code, it is treated as a tax. There are other provisions in the code that I would refer you to, in particular 5327F and 5341. Both of these sections talk about collections and those amounts which are in excess of the amount due. And that can be a result of collecting too much tax or collecting tax when none is in fact due. Both of these provisions require the retailer or vendor to remit those amounts over to the city. Also, I'd have the court take a look at 5345B, which talks about refunding money, whether it be taxes and whether or not it be because of an incorrect rate that was applied or a tax where, in fact, none was due that was paid to the city. That particular provision is really, from the city's perspective, and the one the court really has to look at in this case. What it says is, and I'll quote, if the money paid exceeds that which is due, the excess shall be refunded with interest pursuant to section 5343 or credited against any subsequent remittances from the same person, semicolon, provided, however, that refunds and credits to vendors are limited to those who at the time refund or credit have either credited to their customer's account or refunded to their customer the taxes paid by the customer in error. And that goes back to the same thing I was talking about earlier. When you pay to a vendor, perhaps the assessment is correct, perhaps it's not. This provision talks about how do you get that money back to the person that actually paid.
The council, sorry to interrupt, but do you not see a difference between collecting a tax owed and you collect too much? And as a matter of law, you're not entitled to collect any tax. This is not taxable money.
I agree that it is not taxable money because it was not subject to sales tax. I think what the Denver Code has talked about, and it's put in place is a process where taxes that are incorrectly paid or monies that are incorrectly paid.
It doesn't say money, though. That's what I'm trying to see, if you distinguish at all between a tax and this is not a tax.
I think we would, Denver would treat all sums of money paid as...
That's because you want the money. I get that.
That goes right back to my first provision I'd asked you to take a look at, was 5340. It says...
Mr. Solomon, I'm going to answer. Oh, I'm sorry. You finish answering that question.
Yeah, all sums of money paid to the purchaser as a tax.
As a tax.
It was paid as a tax. It clearly was not taxable. But once it's with the city, the question becomes, how do we get it back to the people that actually paid it? And that's where Section 5345B comes in. We would not ordinarily give a tax or any money to a vendor unless the vendor can guarantee that it'll get back to the customer, because the customer is the one who paid it. It was never the vendor that paid it. It's never the vendor's money. What in essence is going on in this case is Aramark is asking the city to give it money that belongs to someone else.
Mr. Solomon, whose decision are we reviewing here?
It would be the hearing officer for the manager of revenue.
And what's our standard of review for that decision?
With respect to the facts, it's whether or not there was any error in the facts. The exact standard would be limited to determining whether the governmental body, in this case the hearing officer, exceeded its jurisdiction, abused its discretion based on the evidence and record. With respect to the law, this court would review those decisions.
Now, the hearing officer here said that this provision of requiring the money to be paid back to the customer was hyper-technical and didn't apply here. Are we bound by that? Do you agree with that?
I do not agree with that, and you are not bound by that. That obviously was a legal conclusion. I think what the hearing officer did say is that Aramark did in fact collect the tax, and it was related to the city. The city's position is this was not a hyper-technical decision. This was consistent with the law. This is what Section 5345B requires. It requires the vendor to refund the excess or erroneously collected money before the city can give it to them.
Now, the hearing officer, the revenue manager, appears to have made the decision on the basis that Aramark made unilateral errors of fact and law, and as I understand the decision was, therefore, Aramark was at fault for having sent the money in to the city. Is that an appropriate standard for that review? I mean, here you have the revenue manager saying it's their fault, therefore they don't get the money back. Is that anywhere in the code?
It is not, and the city would not agree with that particular decision. I think we've set that forth in our brief. I think what the city would say is there were errors, no doubt. They collected the tax in error. It was remitted to the city. The question now becomes, how do we get it back to the customer? From the city's perspective, there was nothing hyper-technical about how the city applied it. It does not result in an absurd result. It wouldn't make sense for the city to give money directly to Aramark, when in fact Aramark had collected that money from its customers.
Why does it make sense for the city to keep it when it has no legal right to the money?
I think what's going on with the code is the city council has made a decision. When there are excess funds, whether it be incorrect rate or tax not actually due, it stays with the city until the money can get back to the purchasers. Otherwise, you would create a scenario where vendors could innocently or on purpose assess the tax incorrectly, ask for the money back, and then have a bunch of extra money that was never theirs in the first place. It would increase their profitability. And that's exactly what 5345B is intended to prevent. It's making sure taxes get back to those who pay it. In this case, Aramark never paid tax.
And Aramark charged exactly how much tax on each bottle?
It depends on what period of time we're looking at. A tax rate changed during the audit period.
But it was communicated to the customer, 10 cents a bottle, whatever it was at the different time.
I believe the tax was vended. When I say vended, it was charged at a flat fee. I think it was $2.25 a bottle to $3 a bottle.
But that was from their own internal. That wasn't communicated to the customer.
On the receipt, it said it would include all applicable taxes.
So in other words, the customer didn't know how much per bottle they were being charged.
That's right.
Did they know that for any of the food or taxable beverages?
No, this was the same way for everything that they sold at Coors Field and Pepsi Center.
Was there any kind of notice on the menu?
Don't know that.
I think what troubled both the district court and the hearing officer with respect to your argument that's relying on this particular section is that in reality, and let's talk about reality, it's just not possible under any realistic scenario to get the money back to the people who paid the alleged tax. And I guess what you're, if I'm understanding your position correctly, I hope you're not saying, well, they should have done something to do that, because I mean, to me, it just seems like that's just impossible. But it seems to me you're saying, well, that's their problem. It's almost akin to finders, keepers, losers, weepers, which, you know, I used to hear on the playground, but it doesn't strike me as that solid of a legal principle, frankly.
I understand, and no, I am not saying it's their problem, and I agree, the city agrees, that they cannot get the money back to the purchaser. And that's where the city goes back to section 5345B that says, when you can't get it back, the vendor doesn't get the money, because the code specifically prohibits vendors from benefiting from collecting sales tax. And this would be a benefit to the vendor in this case, and they would be receiving someone else's money.
All right, but Denver writes the code so that it does not allow the vendor to benefit by erroneous collection of sales tax, but necessarily it does allow the city to benefit from the erroneous collection of a sales tax.
I agree.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jerry. Does that strike you as a little unfair?
I only apply the code the way it's written by the city council. They made the decision on how we're going to treat excess funds, and I'm applying it the way I believe it's written.
I have one more hypothetical. Let's say we have a more straightforward transaction. Somebody buys a car, and there's $1,000 in tax, in sales tax, that is owed on the car. The seller of the car collects the tax from the purchaser, the $1,000. But when it comes time to remit the money to the city, the vendor remits $2,000. Okay. The vendor realizes it's a mistake and asks the city for the money back. Now, I want to ask you about the $1,000 that the customer never paid. Under what provision of the code, if any, would you concede that the vendor is allowed to retain that money or get that refunded?
Under 5345B, the city would refund the extra $1,000 that was never collected. Because in a case like that, tax was not collected. What the vendor would have to do is fill out an affidavit, send it to the city saying, I gave you too much. It was never collected. It's our error, and we would give it back.
And that certainly seems like a reasonable result. I'm just not sure I get there from reading that section. That section, it seems to me, is written with the assumption that a customer has made an overpayment, and that, therefore, there is a customer to whom we can get the money back to. And I certainly understand the reason for that. It makes perfect sense. We do want the person who had to pay it to receive it. It seems to me we're kind of in a gray area here. We may be in a gap in the code where we really don't, I mean, we have kind of a situation like that, but it's impossible to get the money back to the customer. And it's a situation where the question is, does the city get a windfall? I think it's clearly a windfall. Or does Aramark get to keep the money? And you can maybe characterize that as a windfall, but on the other hand, Aramark has charged a price that its customers were willing to pay. So the customers, not knowing if there was any tax involved, paid $3, were willing to do that. So that doesn't exactly seem like a windfall to Aramark.
No, first of all, I'd like to go back to your hypothetical. I would like to point out in 5345B, in the portion of the ordinance before the semicolon, it talks about if the amount paid exceeds which is due, the excess shall be refunded with interest. That's where the vendor would get back the extra $1,000 that it never got collected. The portion after the semicolon talks about if the money was in fact collected from the customer, that's what you have to do. With respect to the second portion of your question dealing with the windfall, like I said earlier, the city council has made the decision when there is to be a windfall, if you choose to call it, it will go to the city as opposed to the vendor. So we don't create scenarios where vendors can benefit. Not that Aramark did in this particular case, but there are other, perhaps less scrupulous vendors out there who would intentionally charge more than was actually due and ask for the money back themselves. And the city, through its ordinances, discredits that.
Thank you.
Please, the court, I'm Blaine Myrie, counsel for the Aramark entities. I think the court has hit the nail on the head. The city is, in fact, asking this court to allow it to retain in excess of $50,000, which Aramark erroneously paid to the city, but which was never owed to the city. It's undisputed that bottled water is exempt from sales tax under the municipal code. It's undisputed that Aramark erroneously remitted funds in the audit period of 2000-2004 to the city for the sales tax.
Well, counsel, sorry to interrupt. Was this money charged to the customer as a tax?
Your Honor, the way it worked, I think, is important to understand. Aramark charged a flat rate.
Flat rate. It was like $3 a bottle.
Yeah, it was between $2.50 and $3
something
a bottle.
Okay.
The customer would pay that amount, and the way Aramark handled it is that it treated all sales as including tax where applicable. And then after the fact, all the sales were pooled through Aramark's various corporate offices, and then the sales tax was backed out. So in other words, if there was a $3 sale, 1,000 bottles, that would be $3,000, and then Aramark would later determine what the tax was and remit that amount to the city after that. What Aramark, I think it's important to note too, at the administrative hearing, and this is reflected at page 111 of the administrative record, Aramark indicated that it would have charged the same amount anyway.
I want to stop you there. I read the record on that point, and the only thing I saw was counsel's assertion that that was the case. Can you point me to any actual evidence that was the case?
Your Honor, I don't believe this record reflects that. I think, and I, just to make the record clear, it was Ms. Mansfield is one of the accountants. They were represented by accountants at the hearing,
right,
not counsel. But yet, it was her assertion that they factually charged the same amount. And I believe the hearing officer even indicated that on the same page of the transcript, that Aramark was going to collect the $3, whether it was subject to tax or not.
But
I don't believe there's a finding on that.
But we do have a finding that, in effect, Aramark collected sales tax.
In effect, Aramark collected what it believed it would owe had water been taxed.
But that's a factual determination that in pricing and for the customer, Aramark was in effect collecting a sales tax, or at least believed it was.
Your Honor, that is correct. There is really no finding that the manager made one way or the other on whether Aramark would have charged the flat rate, not. I think common sense dictates would, because otherwise the concessionary would be running around with a lot of pennies and dimes and nickels, which is impractical.
Well, sure. Or they might have set the price at $2.75, which it was for a time, or $2.25 or $2.50.
Well, they, it's always done in multiples of 25.
Right.
Or so the change can be dollar bills and quarters.
So who's this? We're reviewing the decision of the manager of revenue.
That's correct.
And what's the standard of our review?
The standard of review is de novo, because we're dealing with a pure legal question, really the interpretation of the city's ordinance 5345B. And I'd like to turn my attention to the issue of the application of what I'll call the reimbursement.
Well, let me ask you, so what is it? I mean, everybody's discussing whether Aramark collected a tax or did not collect a tax. Is that a question of law, or is that a question of fact?
I think it's a question of fact as to whether the funds were paid over, but what those funds are is a question of law. Whether that is in fact a tax is a function of the determining the legal status of those funds under the Denver Municipal Code.
Well, when you say those funds, I don't, are you talking about what is considered tax or what Aramark thought was tax?
Yes, I'm talking about the amount that was remitted for bottled water that Aramark believed was the sales tax that would be due had bottled water been not tax exempt. In other words, it's the 51 some thousand dollars that Aramark remitted for sales of bottled water at 4%, which is the sales tax on beverages.
Did Aramark believe that it was collecting a tax on soft drinks?
I believe, absolutely. In fact, it admitted.
And so you, I mean, it's a matter of record that they did collect a tax for soft drinks.
Yes. In the documents, which are fairly convoluted, it reveals that there are items broken out by cold beverages, which would include soft drinks as well as bottled water.
And so did Aramark believe it was collecting a tax on bottled water?
I believe that the record shows that it did.
That the record shows that it did believe it was collecting a tax for bottled water?
It was collecting funds and then remitting tax and making a calculation of what sales tax would be on bottled water.
So the record says that Aramark believed that a portion of the price that the customers were paying was for taxes, and that they would be obligated to send it to the city.
Well, I think what the evidence is in the record, and this is reflected in some of the papers that Aramark filed with the hearing officer, is that the taxes were paid where applicable. See, all the accounting on the taxes is done after the transaction. It's not done as part of the transaction.
I understand, but my question is, Aramark believed it was collecting a tax for soft drinks. The record says they believe that. Does the record not also say unequivocally that they believed they were collecting a tax for bottled water?
I think it indicates that was the amount that was collected, and it was for what Aramark believed was a tax on bottled water. I think it is an error that Aramark made.
So how do we distinguish between the two? How do we distinguish? Was Aramark collecting a tax from those customers or not? They believed they were. They believed they were on both.
Well, I think what the record indicates on Aramark's part is that they were collecting tax where applicable. So if tax did not apply to an item, in other words, an item was tax exempt, that it was the tax was not in fact included in the price. The record on this is not clear. There's not clear evidence one way or the other that Aramark would have charged the same amount whether tax was due or not.
So they were collecting tax where applicable, and they believed that it was applicable to bottled water.
I think that's the correct statement.
Okay.
And so then, even assuming it is treated as a tax, then the question becomes the application of this reimbursement requirement in the city's code.
And I want to get to that, because your argument is that requiring the reimbursement to customers in this case is impossible. I think the city has conceded that that is not possible. And so the hearing officer and the district court, I believe, that both thought that to apply that provision would lead to an absurd result. Now, and I think that's your argument on appeal.
That's correct.
Now, here's what I don't understand. The result here, I mean, they spoke in terms of the result being you can't get the money back to the customer. But the result of the interpretation or application of the statute is this. Either the city gets to keep the money, or, in your world, Aramark gets the money back, okay? Why is the result absurd if the city gets to keep the money rather than Aramark, which, if it charged a tax and customers paid it, would not seem to have any right to it?
Because there's no conceivable way that Aramark can comply. And I think that's what the absurdity is. The city ordinance applied to these facts creates a set of circumstances in which if Aramark wants to comply, there's no way it can comply. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of bottles of water sold over a four-year period at hundreds of events at Coors Field and Pepsi. Even if Aramark wanted to, in good faith, make an effort to refund all its customers, there's no way that it could do it to the city's satisfaction, and thus there's no way that Aramark could get a refund ever under these circumstances.
But I think that's the point of the statute. The ordinance is saying, we'll remit the money to you if you remit that money to the customers. Otherwise, we keep it.
Correct.
And the app, by saying that we can't remit the money to the customers, the fact that that's impossible, which I think we all agree on, just all that means, the result of that, is that the city keeps the money. Now, if Aramark had submitted, or let's say an ordinary vendor in an ordinary transaction had submitted a refund request, and the city had asked for proof that it was going, that the vendor was going to remit the money to the customer, and the vendor had refused, or the vendor had said, we're not going to, the city would keep the money. So again, the result here is not you can't get the money back to the customer. The result is the city keeps the money. Why is that absurd?
Well, I think that in the result is that the condition is something Aramark can't meet. It's not a question of the vendor not refunding. It's not possible. And I think that the city council could not have meant that it would be impossible for a vendor to refund.
Impossible. But that leaves us with two parties, neither of whom have a claim to the money, because the customer should be getting the money. The customer can't get the money. We have two parties who don't really have a claim to the money. The ordinance, understandably, goes in favor of the city on that one. Why is it absurd for the city to say, we're going to keep the money because you're not entitled to it either?
I think the absurdity is that where the vendor has no conceivable possibility of being able to comply with the requirement, that requirement should not be imposed on the vendor who makes an honest mistake. Whereas you take the typical transaction, which you mentioned, the car sales, where you've got an individual transaction, you've got a substantial amount at issue, it's a lot easier for a car dealer to track down a tax and remit, refund a customer $1,000 than it is for Aramark to track down 100,000 customers and give them a dime back.
So then would we be then rewarding vendors for being not very bright? I mean, if a vendor simply doesn't do the research and says, oh, I'm pretty sure the tax is 5%, let's collect 5% from everybody, and then they send it in and they find out it was only 3%, you're saying, well, it was an honest mistake that they collected too much from the customers, and they can't seem to give it back to the customers, and so let's let them keep it. I mean, that doesn't sound very absurd to me to say, no, you got to be smarter than that. You got to get it right. After all, doesn't the ordinance also say they're the agent of the city when they do that?
That's true. But again, this goes back to the issue of is this actual tax money? And also goes to the issue, which may still be an open question, whether Aramark would have still charged the same amount regardless.
Well, but that doesn't answer my question. My question is, you're saying that it's not fair because they can't pay it back, and therefore they should be able to keep it. And my question is, aren't you opening the door then for them to overcharge customers and get a windfall?
If the city can show that this was not an honest mistake, I would say that's fine.
My scenario is not that they're being dishonest. It's just that, like your client, they're honestly wrong, and they collected too much from these customers. Why should they benefit from their own mistake? Why should they have extra money in their pocket?
First of all, I think the district court addressed this a little bit when he said, you know, that there's a question of whether this is a unilateral mistake, because the manager is supposed to review the returns and make any adjustments as necessary. So the manager didn't catch this mistake either.
After it was paid.
And we don't have a record. I checked. We don't have a record as to how this was remitted, so we don't know what information was before the manager to review.
Yeah, the record could have been better in that regard. As long as it's inconceivable or impossible for the refund to be given, I think then the vendor and not the city should be getting the benefit of the doubt, and the city can change its ordinance if it needs to. It can clarify.
But the ordinance says what the ordinance says.
Correct.
And what you're asking us to do is to not apply the ordinance because under these facts of this case, for your client, it's absurd.
in these unusual circumstances where there's concededly no conceivable way for the vendor to comply with the ordinance requirement as a precondition to a refund, then it shouldn't apply in this case.
And so you would, but you would concede that this is tax money as it's understood under the code?
I won't concede that it's tax money. What I will concede is I think Aramark believed it was.
Well, I understand that. So you're not conceding that this satisfies tax money wrongfully given over, but still classified as tax money under the code?
No, I won't concede that it is, in fact, tax money.
Well, then why would Aramark be entitled to this money instead of the city?
Because it's the city's not entitled to keep the windfall. And the other thing is Aramark would be in a position to at least possibly give some concession reduction to its customers through a temporary price reduction or something to make up the windfall.
But, of course, that's not in our facts here. There's been no negotiation to that fact.
There's nothing in that. Right.
Thank you, Council. Thank you both. Excellent arguments. It'll be very helpful for us.